Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our meeting of remembrance here at Hyde Park this morning. Also, a very warm welcome to those who might be watching online or listening online, and we're going to have Brother Steve Hauser give us the words of exhortation based on that chapter. Our Brother Steve's theme this morning is, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he's going to be basing that exhortation upon Revelation chapter 21, from Revelation 21, verses 9 to the end of the chapter. We now look forward then to our brother Steve's exhort, his theme, "Come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife."
Thank you, Brother Kent, for that introduction and also your welcome. And good morning, brethren and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. I was hoping there would only be a few here this morning, but I can determine a lot of your faces by your even with the masks over it. I can determine who's there. So lovely to see you all. Well, I'm sure you're like me, and have come here this morning with our minds occupied with things of the past, things of the present, and things of the future. It might be concerning fears of COVID, and when's it all going to end? Well, we know when it will end, but whether it's going to end prior to Christ's coming. It might be our relationships with family, friends, with ecclesial brethren and sisters. It might be the terrible tragedies around us, the death particularly of those six children in Devonport in that terrible jumping accident. It could also be the thoughts of the millions of refugees throughout this world, fearing persecution, fearing wars. They've fled from their home to try and find refuge in some other place, and that sometimes has resulted in death as they've tried to flee. Or it might be our personal inner battles going on in our minds and in our bodies through disease or through the infirmity of the flesh, which we all suffer from. Whatever's going on in our lives, now is the time to reset and to refocus our faith and trust in the Almighty God and his Son, who we've come to remember and to rededicate ourselves this morning. Now, I want to share with you an inspiring chapter from the book of Revelation, the one that we've had read this morning, that it might help you and certainly help me to prepare ourselves for that great day that we so long for. And brothers and sisters, I know how easy it is to shut down, to draw the blinds when we read and we consider the book of Revelation. It's so easy. Now, I'm normally the first to put up my hand and to say, "Oh, look, it's just too hard. It's a hard, hard book." The symbology, the scattered time periods, the history involved, and that was my favourite subject at school. And after all, there's 65 other books in the Bible that I need to more fully understand and to more put my mind to. Until it was emphasised to me recently, or not that recently, sorry, by a brother, that it's actually our Lord's last letter to you and to me. It's his last words to the little flock, to his brothers and sisters, to his bride. It's the last thought, the bride, that moved me to look a little deeper into this section that we're looking at this morning. Personally, being a lover of Psalm 45, that wonderful marriage psalm, and through the words of the psalmist who expresses the king and the queen, the bride and the groom's thoughts of each other. For example, she says, "You are fairer," and you know these words, "you are fairer than the sons of men. Grace is poured into your lips, and therefore God has blessed you forever." And the Lord replies, "The king will greatly desire your beauty, for he is your Lord. Worship him. The royal daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is woven gold." So it wasn't hard to expand that theme that is the thoughts of the King, our Lord Jesus Christ, his thoughts to his bride, you and me, and those from all generations that have passed, who are going to make up and will make up and are making up the bride of Christ, a truly treasured beauty, a real stunner. So what's this section of Revelation 21, and it's our final reading for the year, got to do with the bride and groom? Sorry, I just need to... Well, brothers and sisters, believe it or not, it's got everything to do with the bride and the groom. And our considerations this morning are going to stretch our thoughts beyond just a general reading of this Revelation 21. So from the initial thoughts, as that was being read to us by Brother Mark, and thank you for doing those stones, it saves me having to do them as well. So the initial thoughts, of course, as we read that, would have been, well, this is quoting a city. This is obviously a city. It's quoting walls, it's quoting foundations, it's quoting measurements and stones and all sorts of things, isn't it, while we went through that reading. Well, you know, it's actually a symbolic reading, as Revelation is, a book of sign and symbol. It's a symbol of the holy Jerusalem that is descended from above. It's descended from heaven, because that's where its source and that's where its origin is from. It's from above. And it's not to be confused or not even to be thought of as anything to do with the temple of Ezekiel's prophecy that's yet to be built. The holy Jerusalem of Revelation 21, which we've read, is being formed now. That holy city is being formed now. It's the bride of our Lord in symbol. It's a symbol, brothers and sisters, which is speaking of the qualities of the Lamb's wife and not of a literal city. Just must emphasise that. It's her qualities as seen and sought after by our Lord. Her qualities in the symbol of a city made up of those he died for. You know, it's generally accepted that the first 8 verses of this chapter conclude the historic section of the book of Revelation, which commences in chapter 4 of verse 1 and goes through to 21 verse 8. And that actually 21 verse 8 concludes beyond the millennium. Just have a look at verse 4 with me of chapter 21. This is beyond the millennium. This is the end of the process. It's completed. So verse 4, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There'll be no more death. It's the conclusion of the matter. So from 21 verse 9, a new vision commences, which is the one that we're going to be considering this morning. So let's have a look quickly, or just briefly, at this bride city. So verse 9. Then one of the 7 angels who had the 7 bowls filled with the 7 last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, this is important, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. So this pure, this glorious bride is in absolute contrast to the harlot systems that are previously mentioned in chapter 19. Now let's put this into a time frame. This city, this bride city, is being built, is being formed right now. It's prior to Armageddon, brothers and sisters. Remember, it's a new section and it should be viewed that way. This bride is made up of all nations, all people, and all tongues. And the angel talked with John, and therefore to us. You know, when an angel speaks, it's time to pay heed. because things of immense importance are about to be revealed. So John's transported from where he was, of course, the prison island of Patmos, to a great and a high mountain in verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. You know, perhaps when one thinks of great high mountains, thoughts may go to Mount Sinai, for example. Or it could be the divinely cut mountain of Daniel chapter 2. Well, I like to think it relates very much to the Mount of Transfiguration. The reason being is that this scene, the scene of the Transfiguration, points to a future time, pardon me, when the resurrected and the immortalized Moses and Elijah stand together as part of a bride with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Matthew 17, that Mount of Transfiguration. You know, there's further connections with Revelation 21, such as his face shone as the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Come, just have a look at verse 22 and verse 23 in that regard. This is, of course, when he was on the Mount of Transfiguration that his face shone. So verse 22, we read, "But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine for it, for the glory of God illuminated it." And where's the light come from? Well, he tells you, the Lamb is its light. The Lord is the light of the world, and that, of course, is John chapter 8. He's the light of the world. You know, Jesus in this final vision, full of symbolism, full of sign and symbolism, is reflecting the bride's qualities. You know, it's leaving John. Jesus is leaving John and us with what is going to be the most inspiring, the most motivational, and the most lasting vision he could. A bride city. The Lord, in effect, is saying, "I'll show you the qualities I'm looking for in my wife in a way you'll never thought of. The qualities he has, in fact, died for." What an unusual analogy, brothers and sisters. What an unusual analogy to use a city to describe a bride wife. It's so different to most marriages, which have an emphasis on externals. This one is a description predominantly of internal qualities. You come with me to the 1 Peter chapter 2, just a couple of pages back, and have a look at this. You know these words, 1 Peter chapter 2, and just reading verses 4 and 5. "We are coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So God's firstly creating, brothers and sisters, a spiritual city through living stones, perfected stones, stones and gems that have aligned themselves to the chief cornerstone. Who's that? It's our Lord. You know, these have been moulded to the pattern of our Lord. We have been guided by the hand of God to become those precious stones after the pattern of our Lord. But, you know, each one of us are retaining our individual characteristics and our individual personalities. Just as precious stones that was read for us in verses 19 and 20, Each one of those stones are unique, they're precious, but they have an individual characteristic. You know where the uniqueness is? The uniqueness is they reflect the Lord's light. You know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, says of us, "Ye are the light of the world." Why? Because, brothers and sisters, as we walk in a world of darkness, we are reflecting our Lord, who is the light of the world. So just coming back to verse 10 again, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from above." So holy Jerusalem, the bride, is viewed by John. We've got to use our imaginations a bit here and see the same. Now there's key words that are repeated through this bride city: measure, gates, light, wall, street, foundation, and temple. And you know, from the earliest of times, brothers and sisters, all cities had these for the safety and for the protection of its citizens. So if we apply these key words to the spiritual city, we can uncover the amazing qualities seen in this holy Jerusalem in the bride. Us, you and me, and all those faithful from all generations. One important key to remember in this bride city, that it actually is a reflection of our Lord that we come to remember this morning. It's his glorious characteristics that the bride and the wife want and do exhibit. Now, we all know that God is the master builder, and he's always had a plan, he's always had a blueprint for this world and for its inhabitants upon it. And what's the centrepiece of his plan, of his blueprint? Well, the centrepiece is his son and his bride. Everything in this holy city conforms to divine specifications. Simply put, we have to measure up to God's requirements, his ways, his thoughts, and they're so often so far from us naturally speaking. You know, any literal building that's designed to last forever will require a minimum of good plans, accurate measurements, solid foundations, and the best of materials. Let me just reread that. Any building, symbolic or other, that's required to last has to have a minimum good plans, we know God's got, accurate measurements, which we'll see in a moment, solid foundations, deep and solid, and here where we come in, the very best of the materials. Right, so verse 15, we read, "And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls." The angel, can you picture it? The angel had a golden reed in his hand, and that was to measure this bride city. Now, the question to ask is, well, hang on, what's gold represent? Well, he'll know what gold represents. It's not only tried, but it's perfected faith. Everything in this city has to measure up to that measurement, that reed, and it has to have that aspect of faith perfected, tried and perfected in us. Well, we've all faced overcoming and trying to overcome the fiery trials of life. And there's none more than the one that we've come to remember this morning, our Lord. The vision that we have here in Revelation 21, and I'll emphasise that, the vision that we have is so full of gold. It's so refined, brothers and sisters, that this gold has become as clear as glass. Can you believe that? And we'll see that in verse 21. You know, mankind's metallurgy can't achieve this level of purity. Gold is gold. It can never be that clear. Only God can do that to gold. And he does in you and me. And it was Job, and we all know the trials that he endured and overcame, who said in Job 23 verse 10 these words, "When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold." That's how we're to see our trials and tribulations in life. There is an end, brothers and sisters. There is a purpose in it all. Faith is the measure, and those that make up this bride city have measured up to the requirements of faith and perseverance in God. Verse 16, and I'm not going to be doing a verse by verse, so don't fear. Verse 16, "The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs." Now, I'm not sure what translation you might have, but we'll look at the Greek in a minute. "Its length, its breadth, and its height are all equal." The symbolic city, brothers and sisters, is a perfect cube. Now, I just want to get you to spend a few seconds and just think, where else in Scripture have you seen or has it been identified where there's a perfect cube? Well, it should take us to the tabernacle, to the temple, to the most holy place. That was a perfect cube. In the case of the temple, it was 20 cubits. That's where we mention about a cube. And can I ask you, what's so special about the most holy place? Not the articles that were in there, but it was the place that God chose to dwell with his people. So he sees this city of 12,000 furlongs. Now, 12,000 furlongs, brothers and sisters, is enormous. It's huge. But God dwells in that. You know, the 20 cubits is about 11 metres cubed. Just to give you a bit of a comparison, 12,000 cubits is 2,200 kilometres. If we're to literally take it that way, there's a point that the angel is trying to make, or Christ is making to us. 12,000 furlongs in its length and its breadth and its height. Now, something really interesting here, brothers and sisters, and that is that Greek word for furlong, or however it might be translated, is the word studion. I might not be saying that right in Greek, but it's where we get our English term stadium from. It's an Olympic term, brothers and sisters, for the distance of the sprint track in Greece, which was 180 metres in length. That's what it was referring to, and that's where we can come up with those sort of calculations. So it makes this cube, as I said, around 2,500 kilometres in length and breadth and height. It's so big, and remember, this is symbolic, because it has to take in the spiritual seed of Abraham, because that's who God is going to be dwelling with. And you know, the spiritual seed of Abraham is as many as the stars that are in the heavens. You know, they're sending up a telescope into space to try and find the beginning and the end of the universe. And they can't count the amount of stars from here with all their telescopes. It's immeasurable. And that's why this queue where God is dwelling with his people is so huge. Because the seed of Abraham is going to be as numerous as the stars that are in heaven. You know, the word stadion is used, a furlong, is used in the New Testament a few times, about six times I think it is, and it specifically tells you the distances between cities. For example, there's one in Luke 24, verse 13, which is from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and it gives that distance as 60 furlongs, which is about 10 kilometres, and that's how it is. So we know a furlong is about a sixth of a kilometre. You know, the Olympic image, and you would be aware of that, is often used in scripture of individuals striving for victory. We've seen it recently. They strive all in, with all their might, train for years to get what? Gold medal. In the days of the Greeks, of course, it was just a crown, a corruptible crown. It's a fitting symbol, brothers and sisters. It's a fitting image to express those that are victorious, those that have overcome and gained not a corruptible crown, but an incorruptible crown. I want you to come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, just briefly, and we'll just have a look at this. Because it's an interesting use of that word stadia. First Corinthians 9 and verse 24 and 25, where Paul says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race," and that's our word stadion, believe it or not, it's the only time it's translated that way, it's normally as a distance, "who run in a stadion, all run, but one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we're in a race, brothers and sisters. We're in a marathon. We're in a race that we may get an imperishable crown." So isn't that wonderful? We've got a prize at the end of this that not only one person's going to get, three people might get. We're in it all together to get an imperishable crown. So going back to Revelation 21 and this bride city, these are the qualities, brothers and sisters, that our Lord is so looking for, and it's only a reflection, isn't it, of himself. Verse 17, we read, dealing with the wall, "Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man," that is, of an angel. The man, that is an angel. Well, I believe the Spirit, brothers and sisters, is emphasising that the whole purpose or the whole measurements of this wonderful bride city isn't human, it's divine, it's angelic. And we're told that it's 144 cubits, which, and luckily I like maths, is 12 squared. 12 is everywhere in this bride city, brothers and sisters, 12 gates, 12 doorkeeping angels, 12 apostles, 12 foundations, 12,000 furlongs, which we've just read of, and 12 gates of one pearl each. 12, of course, is being the number that directs you and me to Israel. The hope of Israel encompasses, like a wall does, encompasses this bride. Here before us, you and me, We have the true Israel, the heavenly seed of Abraham. There's a promise of the hope to Israel that is eternal life. And John, in Revelation 21, is constantly drawn to this wall. Verse 12, verse 14, verse 15, verse 17, verse 18, and verse 19. So why a wall? Why is he drawing so much attention to a wall? Well, let's ask ourselves a question. What is the function of a literal wall? Well, my answer, it keeps out unwanted guests and villains. It separates the wanted from the unwanted. And if ever there is a distinction point, a point of separation, here it is, the wall, verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you see, what it does, it highlights the distinction or the difference between those who are within and those who are without. And the Lamb's wife, you and me, keep the unwanted and the unprofitable outside. Her focus, our focus, is carefully on her internal holiness. And John's directed to something very unique about this wall in verse 11 and 12, and it's repeated in verse 18, which we'll look at in a second. That it appears as a jasper stone. It's not a wall like we might think of it. It's a stone. You know, more accurately, the word or the idea is of a diamond. It's clear and it's transparent, as described here in Revelation 21. And just as a matter of interest, jasper is not transparent and it's normally red in colour. So verse 18, let's have a look at this. He says, the construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. Now, I mentioned about that before. Gold is like clear glass. Now, I want you to just drift away for a moment and just think about what he saw. He sees this huge cube. 2,200 kilometres, 2,500 kilometres cubed. And the gold therein can be clearly seen. So everything about her was pure, was clear, and was transparent. That's important, isn't it? Now, just as a matter of interest, and I'm sure our sisters all know this, but any diamond is assessed by four C's. It's clarity, its cut, its weight in carats, and its colour. Diamonds, you know, would be a study in itself, as any gem would. But here the emphasis in this city, the bride city, you and me, the emphasis is on its colour and its clarity. She's pure, with no blemish, crystal clear as glass is clear. She has the inner qualities of her groom, the one we've come to remember this morning, our Lord Jesus Christ. And both, Jesus and us, reflect our Father's purity and his glory. And just moving on, as in the natural, so in the spiritual. Foundations are so, so important in any building. It determines the shape, the height, and the strength of a building. It's coming back to verse 14, where we read, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So this bride's foundation, this building, which is the bride, Her foundations are built on the work of the 12 apostles. And what were they commissioned to do? They were sent throughout the world, and they were to baptize those who believed the gospel. Simple. Preach the gospel and baptize those that believed. You and me, brothers and sisters, are custodians of those foundation messages on which we individually and together as an ecclesia need to build. We spread the gospel, that wonderful gospel message, personally and ecclesially, and we do that near and we do that far and wide. In verse 19 and 20, and we're not going to look at it, the 12 stones that, thank you Mark, read for us, are mentioned in the foundations, which are representative of the 12 tribes of the Israel of God, the redeemed bride. It's God, you know, taking up his jewels. You know, the quality of a gemstone is its ability in reflecting light and reflecting colour. The Lord is looking for, and he finds in this bride city, his own glorious qualities, uniquely and wonderfully reflected. Just as every one of those gems in those verses 19 and 20 are very unique in their colour and in their diversity, so are we. But one thing is common in all of them, and that is they reflect our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, gemstones are formed under pressure and under heat. So we, coming through the trials of life, pressure and the heat have formed us into very precious jewels. They haven't shattered us. They have formed us into some wonderful jewels. So let's persevere. Let's continue in well-doing. As to him that overcomes will receive the crown of life. So all these gemstones, the gold, the 12 foundations, the wall, and the enormity of what he saw in vision comes to a climax in verse 27. Well, actually, the section is verse 23 to 27, but we're just going to read verse 27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles it. This is the city. Or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our names, God willing, are written in that book, in the Lamb's Book of Life, because he's seen in you, and he's seen in us, in myself, hopefully, the qualities of this symbolic city. And we've only touched briefly on it. There's a day coming when this symbolic bride city will materialise to the beautiful, no, the stunning bride, the Lord's wife, the one and only bride our Lord willingly gave his life for. It'll be a day of joy. It'll be a day of gladness like no other. And it's a day that Malachi talks of, and if you want to come with me, please, to Malachi chapter 3, and I'll finish with this. This is the day of glory, the day of joy, the day when this bride will be finished. And reading from verse 16 to 18, these words. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and he heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord, Yahweh, and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says Yahweh of armies, on the day that I will make my jewels, all the jewels, the seed of Abraham, the bride, on that day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Thank you.